Hello and welcome to the Second Commander's Log for John Harper, author of the official Elite Dangerous novel And Hear the Wheel. I'm talking to you from Lave. My trusty Cobra Mark III wasn't actually so trusty, and it's getting fixed in the dry dock right now. We'll go check on it in a few minutes. First, I wanted to talk a bit about the novel, but before that, I need to correct an oversight. In the first podcast, I forgot to mention about the music. The music you heard at the beginning and the end was Billions and Billions by Stelladrone. He's working on his sixth album right now, so there's a lot of material like this if it interests you. If you like Two Quiet Sons, you'll like him. They're cut from the same cloth, or perhaps scratched from the same synthesizer. So, back to the novel. It's moving along at a breakneck pace. Not literally, of course, for me, but figuratively for the characters. It's all go. Time is of the essence. Things have changed, become more complicated, yet the original countdown to destruction remains. That makes things harder, and now, the characters are working harder to figure things out. It's not about sneaking around anymore. It's not about reacting. It's about responding. It's about taking charge. It's the third quarter of the book, and the hero becomes the attacker. I've just written a scene where he, well, kicks some absolute butt. It was a fun little scene, but the next scene's even better, and I won't spoil it for you. I've talked about the structure of the novel quite a few times. There's a beginning, there's an end, there's three main points. There's the first plot point at about 25%, there's the midpoint, halfway, 50%, and there's a second plot point at about 75%. This structure is pretty simple and pretty standard. You can see it in many movies and novels. So I wanted to give you an example that hopefully you're all familiar with. The Patriot, starring Mel Gibson. I really like this movie. The character for Mel Gibson is quite a complicated man. He's got a dark history. I think he plays it really, really well, and it gives it a lot of depth. But about the 30-minute mark, or 20% of the way through the movie, the English come to Mel Gibson's house. They torch his house, they kill his second eldest, and they capture his eldest son. This is a pretty dark moment for Gibson. He has a choice. Accept his losses and move on. He's still got some kids he can keep alive. Or fight back. He stares into his dead son's eyes, trying not to break down. The family man persona that Mel Gibson's character has made for himself can't handle this. The old persona, the one that went crazy at Fort Wilderness, comes back to the fore. He makes a decision. He decides to fight. This single decision then guides the course of the rest of the movie, and is probably the most important point in the whole thing. At 1 hour and 17 minutes through a 2 hour 37 minute movie, or the 49% point of the story, Mel Gibson's ambusher becomes the ambushee, and he realizes that he isn't on Easy Street anymore. Prior to this point, he's been picking off the English with his militia and having a pretty good go at it. Now he's being targeted by a military mind greater than his. Now things have to change for Gibson. He loses his men. Everything falls apart. The whole context of the war has changed. And he can't just muddy around picking off small-time English convoys. He has to take the battle to the enemy if he has to survive. The whole context becomes wider for him. At the 82% mark, or 2 hours and 9 minutes, we have the second plot point. It is the point where the last new information can occur in the movie, the information that galvanizes the hero into his final action. By definition, no new information can come to light after this point. He's already had a dark point, the loss of his eldest son, where despair is at its maximum, and there appears to be no light at the end of the tunnel. He wants to give up the fight, go home, bury his son, and move on with his life. And these dark moments usually occur directly before the second plot point. And it's the same with the Patriot. He buries his son as he's going to leave. He sees the United States flag that his son has been carefully stitching back together throughout the course of the whole movie. He looks at it, realizes what he's been fighting for, and he decides that no, he has to go and fight. He has to finish what he started. This is bigger than him. If he wants the rest of his kids that are still alive to live in freedom, he needs to go back and needs to finish the fight. So you see with the first plot point, the midpoint shift, and the second plot point, pretty much bang on where they're supposed to be. Have a look for it in stories you read and movies you watch. It's a pretty good system, and Anne Hear the Wheel is following it to the letter. A bit of gossip for you now. I enjoyed the latest development diary. Most of this was already known, at least in the writer's forum, but the news of the ability to dock with big ships, such as capital ships, is pretty interesting. This capability was already in Ulite, or at least an add-on that you could play with in that game. It definitely adds some very similar chew to the story. Makes it more immersive, gives you more options. But I think Frontier will have to think pretty closely about the details around it. I mentioned this on the Lave Radio episode 5, but there needs to be some advantage to doing so, to going onto these capital ships. Otherwise, it'll just be a game feature which doesn't get used. A curiosity, something you do once, think, oh yeah, that was nice, and move on. We don't want that, we want it to be an integral part of the story. On the Lave Radio, we talked about ideas. Some ideas I thought of. Topping up for gas when you've got a long run into a system might not even work with the new immediacy that the game has now. Docking with large mining scales may bring the advantage of low cost to buy minerals. High price to sell computers, for example, might be a sought after destination if you can find them. Docking with Federation capital ships may reveal more game mini-missions. Perhaps military missions will only be available from there. Perhaps if you do the missions that you find on capital ships, they come with free upgrades that you couldn't find anywhere else. The gameplay will just need to be balanced to make it a lively part of the game, an essential part of the game, not just a curiosity. Frontier developments know what they're doing. and they're going to have a good plan there. They just need to make sure they do it well. They balance it out right. Now, I was expecting to be caught up on my worries about the game becoming too complicated. I talked about that a bit in the first podcast, but no one ripped into me about it. I wonder what the actual feelings are out there. Do others agree with me that you don't want it to become too complicated? Or maybe people just don't care enough about my opinion to hit me up about it, hopefully somewhere in the middle. There's been a discussion on the Writers Forum about the news feeds, and this is going to be a topic discussed in the Design Decision Forum, or DDF, soon. I'm not allowed to say, well, anything really, but this is probably one of the most exciting areas of the game for me. Naturally, of course, I'm writing tie-in fiction, so the news and the media is very important to me. What I've seen is very encouraging. There's been a lot of great ideas bandied around, and once the DDF refines this, I'm sure going forward, Fronty's going to have a pretty solid system in place, and it's going to be quite exciting. On the forums, there's been a rebirth of Mark and Rager. This is a series of fan fiction stories written well over a decade ago, but I enjoyed them back then, and they're being redone right now. So if you have the time, I recommend you go have a look. And do it now, because next year you'll be reading my stories. It's going to be busy next year, so get your fan fiction dose in right now, because next year it'll be all official. If you're in the DDF, or you've listened to Lave Radio, you'll know about the concept of the Letter of Mark. This got me really, really excited. If you've ever played Sid Meier's Pirates, you'll know what I mean. As soon as I heard those three words, my heart rate jumped a notch. How awesome will this be? I can't wait to pick a side and do me some privateering, Sir Francis Drake styles. Okay then, well, as I mentioned, I've been stuck on Lave since my last broadcast, my trusty old Cobra Mark III not being terribly trusty after all. It's in the dry dock and I'm on foot, so let's go check up on progress. Well, everything seems to be in order here.
Hey, what are you doing to my ship?
Okay, I guess the Cobra is not quite ready yet. I guess I'll head out on foot then and see if I can find any questions for and hear the wheel.
Whoa!
Okay, I'll stay away from the roads then, and here's someone to ask a question. Hello there, Tim. What's your question?
Hi, John. I'm just wondering how your interactions with Frontier Developments are going.
Good question, Tim. Thanks for that. To be honest, I haven't had too much interaction with them in the last few weeks. I've been knuckling down and writing the draft, and then getting distracted with this podcast. All my interactions were short and to the point. I'm pretty well versed in Frontier and First Encounters, so my plot and the set pieces of the galaxy were pretty bang on. The only real problem I had was my wish to use the planet Raxler. Once I developed a workaround for that, Frontier were pretty happy, even adding their own suggestions to my new concepts. Since then, I've hit the creative team at Frontier with the odd question, clarifying a point here or there, checking if they were happy with the scene I was setting. I suppose now most of my interaction is now through Michael Brooks, who is always available on the Writers Forum for a quick answer. Hope that answers your question.
If any other listeners out there have any questions, then please send them through, either a voice clip or a written question. Either way, I'd love to involve you in the podcast. Just email them through at john@andhearthewheel.co.nz. Now just before we wrap up, a quick note for all supporters who have pledged to the newsletter reward tier. The second newsletter will be coming out next week. It's been revamped to look a whole lot nicer, and I'll be putting it out in both ebook and PDF versions. Just to give you a quick teaser, I look at gas refinery platforms in the engineering section. I've gone into some detail about how I come up with a concept, and then how I do some simple engineering calculations just to make sure it's feasible. There are sketches and calculations attached that come straight out of my writing journal. If that is of any interest to any listeners, it's not too late to upgrade your pledge on my website to get the newsletter. Just click on the PayPal link, follow the instructions, and leave a message explaining that you're upgrading, or not for first timers.
Okay, well that's all the time I have for this podcast. Thanks everyone for listening, hope you enjoyed it. Hang around for next time if you can, and I'm going to play you some Stellar Drone Eternity to see us out. Thanks, and goodbye.